You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Sacramento proud. It's more than a motto. It's a theme and a feeling for the city. And last night, despite a 3-0 loss to Orlando, Sacramento Republic, or Sac FC, the soccer team, make us all Sacramento proud after making it all the way to the finals of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. It's a big deal. A big deal for the team, a big deal for Sacramento, and potentially a big deal in moving that needle forward in hopes of landing a professional soccer team here one day. We've been down that road before. Last night, the city held a watch party at the Sacramento Convention Center, where fans watched the match on giant TV screens and plenty of air conditioning. And, of course, several restaurants and bars carried the game live as well. In the end, it was a loss on the scoreboard, but certainly a win in so many other ways. Joining us to talk about last night's main event is freelance journalist Kevin Nguyen, who has covered the Sacramento Republic FC for The Bee, The Sac Bee, and The Guardian. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Vicky. It's good to be with you.
So let's get up to speed on Lamar Hunt, the U.S. Open Cup. You know, why is it unique and what is its significance?
Yeah, so unlike other American sports, there is this mid-season tournament that is just jammed into the regular season. And it's actually the nation's oldest single elimination tournament. So, you know, parse through those words. It's pretty much like March Madness, which I think most listeners probably know. And Sacramento was the first lower division team to make it this far since 2008.
So lower division teams can play with major league soccer teams in this tournament.
Yeah, what's unique about this tournament is that it's a mix of professional teams and amateur clubs. So it's literally everyone and anyone in the nation that can qualify for this tournament compete against each other. It's the one shot they get.
All right. So I watched, and the first half was pretty good. You know, it was held at 0-0. And then obviously it took a turn not in our favor in the second half. Final score 3-0 in Orlando's favor. From an X's and O's perspective, what are your impressions of last night's match?
Yeah, you know, I actually thought the 3-0 scoreline was worse than it actually ended up being, as you pointed out, Vicky. I think Sacramento actually played much better than a lot of people expected. You know, this game was billed as a David versus Goliath sort of storyline. And Sacramento didn't really look like David's. And to be quite frank, Orlando didn't really look like Goliath's. So, you know, I thought up until the 75th minute, you can make an argument that Sacramento is actually in control of the game. And it just shows you how cruel, you know, the sport can be. You can do everything right and it still doesn't shake your way.
I know, 0-0 for 75 minutes and then everything changes in like the last 15 minutes. But I do agree with you. It looked like it was a fairly matched team. It didn't look like a second league team was playing an MLS team. You know, what did Sacramento's appearance in the U.S. Open Cup, what did it mean to Sac Republic FC?
Yeah, you know, I think we need to look at this in two fronts. One, from a sporting standpoint, it's remarkable in that this team is still beginning in many ways. This is a brand new team that was assembled less than 6 months ago. And this is a sport that usually rewards continuity. So it was very abnormal to have a team, let alone one from the second division, make it this far. So from a sporting standpoint, that was remarkable. I think from the perspective of the city and region, the timing couldn't have been better. You know, this is our first real summer returning from the pandemic. We had the MLS expansion debacle, which we can get into, that the professional sports scene is still picking themselves up from. And I think this run was just a reminder of how vibrant and alive this fan base still is here, despite, you know, all the adversity they had against them. And that, you know, when you have a good team in here and you invest in it, you know, the people will show up.
Yeah, yeah. And we're going to get to that debacle in just a moment. You know, I mean, Sac Republic FC, you know, going to that championship match, I mean, it reverberated across the city. I mean, the team threw a watch party at the Sacramento Convention Center and it was just packed. Obviously, heavy hearts, but definitely lots of pride. Let's take a quick listen.
We put ourselves. Watching, 'cause we're right.
tell you what, as a former player, it's gutty, you know, to see it end like that. But I mean, nothing for these boys to hold their heads down about. I mean, have they made you guys proud? Because I'm sitting here like you wouldn't even believe. So I want to do me a favor. I want to take a video. I want to send this to the boys. Let them know how proud the city is of them. So do me a favor, make some noise.
Yeah, so this is an underdog story that isn't just like doesn't even fit into like, you know, the history of the U.S. Open Cup. We don't have to go too far back in history when Sacramento really just had the rug pulled out from under its feet. You know, one day you had thousands of people filling Capitol Mall celebrating the expansion of MLS to Sacramento with the promise of a new downtown stadium. Short time later, during the pandemic, no less, that big investor, Ron Burkle, announced he's pulling out. So where does the city stand in terms of an MLS expansion today?
Yeah, much of that is unfortunately out of Sacramento's control. I think what folks need to understand about MLS is that unlike other major sports leagues, which have been established for generations, you know, where top American soccer took place was actually in dispute up until the late 90s when MLS was founded. And even then, it really wasn't until the late 2000s when you saw it become more professionalized than what it is today. So, I mean, that's my long about way of saying MLS is a single entity. They own and operate all the teams, and they require an expansion fee, which my last check is goes up to $200 million just to get in the door. So, without Ron Burkle, as you mentioned, you know, that's just the huge piece there, the elephant in the room for Sacramento. So folks I've talked to in the front office, they see it for what it is. It's out of their control. They still see MLS as something they'd love to be in because it is the top of the sport, but it's something they can't control. So they're moving forward with the stadium at the rail yards. They're trying to build the best product in USL. They're just trying, and hopefully this run shows that, but they're just trying to build the best thing possible for the next rich person to come in and help with this.
Yeah. A whale with deep pockets, yeah. But in the meantime, working with what they can control. That doesn't mean that fans can't be loud about it and appealing for the desire to be an MLS team. So let's listen to one fan. His name is Ken, and here are his thoughts on landing an MLS team in Sacramento.
But now it's like, if anybody's listening, if there's any other millionaires or billionaires who could collaborate, could come together and put this scene together, man. I mean, shoot, Sacramento is a wonderful city, a wonderful place I don't know. I've been here too long. We'll have those people's back no matter what, and we'll fight to the very end to keep this team together. And you know what? Even if we never become an MLS, there's still going to be the support and love of soccer in here. Just look at the kids who play every day in this community.
So do you think last night's match, you know, the fact that, you know, Sac Republic held up to an MLS team, that will play a role in its future, potentially bringing MLS to Sacramento?
I certainly think so. You know, I think if you just look at, even if we were to go off the field, you just look at the scenes you saw at the convention center downtown, you know, it brings back memories of people gathering to watch, you know, the men's and women's World Cups, right? And you think about how that turned so many casuals into, you know, real fans. So, I think what last night showed was that the line between the first division and the second division is a lot thinner than I think the MLS would like to admit.
Yeah. The heartbeat to Sac Republic FC is the Tower Bridge Battalion. That's the fan group that chants in the stands during home games. It's just, you know, loud and loud in the very, very best way. So let's listen to Jordan Nakata, who's part of the battalion.
This group means a lot to me and a lot to a lot of people. And it's a cornerstone in a lot of people's lives. And, you know, this team, good or bad, we have something there for us, and that's what the team is. And this run has just done so much, you know, to bring everybody together.
Yeah, when talking with Donovan, you know, who heads Sac Republic FC, he said what really drew him to Sac Republic FC were the fans and like the Tower Bridge Battalion. Is that something unique, or is that something that's just part of, you know, MLS and USL?
Yeah, you know, that actually, Vicky, is not a given in every city you go to. And I think when I talk to players, and especially when I talk to visiting players, too, a huge thing they say about Sacramento is the atmosphere here. So in that regard, I think it's unique. It's not unique to the sport of soccer, but the city of Sacramento and the fans in this region have really taken to the team. They don't care what league it's in. If you go to a USL game, which the next one will be this Saturday, you'll see, you know, they fill up that 11,000-seat stadium at Cal Expo, and they make noise, and they sing, and they really buy into, you know, just the soccer spirit. So I think the atmosphere really does set Sacramento apart, and it's a huge attraction for people who want to work for the team and people who play against it.
Yeah. I mean, you might think, because when I was watching the game, even Orlando said that they had, you know, record turnout at their stadium. And then you had a sports journalist who was at the Sacramento Convention Center. You could barely hear her during halftime because of the fans. I mean, you might think that a match of this magnitude on both sides would have had national TV broadcasts. And it did kind of. It was streamed on ESPN Plus, but not everyone has ESPN Plus. I mean, why not a mainstream sports network like ESPN?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's a conversation that soccer fans have been very frustrated with for many years, right? And it's gotten better now. But I just, you know, this was just a bet made by these big companies, hoping they probably think that the fan base is ready for streaming. You know, if you just take a step back from this game, all of ESPN soccer products are generally on their streaming platform, and that's where they've said that their customers are. So, yeah, you know, I agree with you. This game, you would have liked it to be on national TV, but, you know, we were competing with the U.S. Open in New York. So, yeah, it's a lot of things, and, yeah, it's a bummer that it wasn't on TV.
Yeah. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio, and we're joined by freelance journalist Kevin Nguyen, and we're talking about Sacramento FC's loss last night in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup and what it means for the future of professional soccer here in Sacramento. In a recent article that you wrote in The Guardian, you wrote that Sacramento soccer is often overshadowed by teams in L.A. and San Jose, but they also beat the Galaxy in this Open Cup tournament. So do you think that's changing after this run?
Yeah. Look, when you talk to coaches, soccer coaches in the state, they all look at Sacramento as the sleeping giant. You know, its metropolitan area can sustain something similar to what you see in, let's just say, Los Angeles, which supports two MLS franchises and a team in the USL as well. So, there's so much talent out here, and like what we said earlier, the line between MLS and USL is closing.
There was a little bit of controversy leading up to the game the match in Orlando this week. Reports surfaced that Orlando SC used security cameras to spy on the Sacramento team's training facility. What can you tell us about that? Obviously that's wrong, but is that like kind of like a normal bad practice in MLS?
Yeah, so whenever these things happen, right, they get labeled as Spygate. So it actually wasn't a security camera. Sacramento Republic had actually rented out two fields at a public park about 26 miles away from the stadium. It was there at the public park where their staff noticed an Orlando City employee filming using, his or her phone. So, you know, it turned into something bigger. Obviously, it added to the drama of the situation. But I think it was a little overblown, because at this point, you know, both teams have so much tape on each other. There's only so much you can kind of keep hidden in the pocket, right? So, you know, I think it became bigger than what it was. Both sides didn't really mind much to it after the game when we asked them about it. But it certainly added to the drama.
So it's pretty much squashed at this point, or mute at this point. There really aren't any repercussions or investigations coming from this.
Yeah, U.S. Soccer, which put on the tournament, said they would investigate it, but it happened so close to the game that there really, you know, wasn't anything they could do about it. We'll keep track of it in the coming days, but yeah, I don't think this anything big will come down on Orlando.
Given that you've covered this team for quite a while, what makes this team so special in your view?
Yeah, you know, I go back to this chip on the shoulder thing, which I have come to find is a very Sacramento thing. And I think the cool thing about soccer is that it can really come to represent the community that that it plays in. And I think despite everything that's happened with MLS and, you know, with the pandemic and how bad things went last year, that it was just cool to see a team focus back in on the present and be aligned on that. And that's not always a given in many walks of life. And you know, there's no secret sauce to it, but it was just really cool to see all that come together for a city that I think really deserved it.
Yeah. I mean, even if you're not a soccer fan, you know, you're a Sacramento fan, you know, so it's a big deal for our area. That is freelance journalist Kevin Nguyen, covers the Sac Republic FC for the Sacramento Bee and the Guardian. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Christy from Sacramento, and I just made my donation, an evergreen donation, because I noticed that I always turn on the program when I'm in the car. It informs me. I love the program. And if I didn't have it, I wouldn't know what I would do without it. So that's why I just made my donation today. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Christy, for making your contribution to Cap Radio. Also, we just heard in the last few minutes out of Sacramento, we heard from Lee, also from Sacramento, Satya, and Bart from Modesto. Bart, whose only comment was a little emoji heart. So thank you, Bart, for the heart and for your contribution to Cap Radio. I'm Nick Bruner. I am in with Emily Zentner, and we're asking you to join these voices, join these people who are keeping this place funded and keeping Insight funded and keeping this radio station a vibrant place for news, information, and music. You do that by making a contribution by phone or online at capradio.org.
One of the things I love about working at Cap Radio is that we really work to capture the voices of our community every day. And when you're listening to Cap Radio, you get to be part of that conversation. And you can make your voice heard and be a part of that right now by supporting us.
You've just heard voices from the community throughout that last segment with Insight. We've got more coming up in just a few moments. But right now, we're here to ask you to make that crucial contribution that keeps this radio station funded so we can continue to bring you those voices, those stories that matter right here at home, especially during this program. 1-800-800-5867 is the phone number to call to make that financial contribution right now. 1-800-800-5867. Or go to capradio.org. And if you've never given before, start a monthly contribution with $5 a month. And we have something special for you just today only.
Just today only, you can get a super cool public radio nerd tote bag. So if supporting independent nonprofit news is not enough of a draw for you today, you can get a super cool tote bag too. It's really a package deal. I recommend it. And that's if you start a membership of just $5 a month by calling now or donating online. That's 1-800-800-5867. 1-800-800-5867 or head to capradio.org.
I know there's somebody out there, Emily, who just heard you say that. They're like, yeah, I like the news. It's fine. It's good. But, a tote bag.
The news plus a tote bag is really the package deal of the century. So I think you got to jump on it.
I hope that their fingers are capable of dialing the phone number in the order that it's supposed to be. You can't be so excited that you got to call 1-800-800-5867. 1-800-800-5867. Or pop over to capradio.org and start your $5 monthly contribution there. It's incredibly easy, and it really does go a very long way to keeping this radio station funded. So if you've never given before, join the people that you've just heard about 2 or 3 minutes ago by calling us up or going to capradio.org and starting your contribution now. 1-800-800-5867 is that number. 1-800-800-5867 or capradio.org. And thanks.